I want to talk to this morning about inheriting the promises of our God. Based on Galatians. I'm ahead of myself. Galatians chapter 3 and 4. I believe Dave spoke to you on the first two chapters a couple of weeks ago. And so you know then, don't you, that this book is a book written to a troubled church. And it's troubled by the fact that there are some people coming from Jerusalem who are trying to persuade them that they need to become Jewish. Effectively, they need to get circumcised and start to obey the whole law. And Paul is really anxious about this. So he writes this letter basically to help them to walk in freedom. He wants them to be free and to not get sidetracked. I love that phrase. Who has bewitched you? He says. Who has bewitched you? I mean, that's a bit strong, isn't it? Who has bewitched you? I mean, these guys have come from Jerusalem. They're just doing what they think is the right thing. They've just come up. They think that the best thing that these guys can do is to keep the faith, to keep following in the footsteps of Moses, the person they've been following all of their lives. And yes, Jesus has come and he's done all this other stuff, but they don't want them to miss out on anything. So they say, you've got to get circumcised. They're kind of sincere in what they're doing. But Paul says they're sincerely mistaken. And they're in danger of bewitching and leading the whole church astray. So he wants them to be free, to just not to have it polluted or diluted, the message, the good news, the gospel of Jesus. And so he writes this letter, and it's an amazing letter. It's an amazing letter. But we're going to look into that a little bit in a moment. But the first thing I want to say is there are tremendous, tremendous things that are promised to us, aren't there? Jesus said, why did Jesus come? To destroy the works of the devil, yeah, and to save us, yes, and to show us the Father. Come on, that's a fantastic thing. Everything pales into significance when you see the Father. What else? To bring freedom, yeah. To fulfill the law. Yeah, that's a really tough one, Jeff, isn't it? So we're going to have to look at that a little bit because you've got to take that seriously. What else? To show us the kingdom, yep. Anything else burning in you that Jesus came to show us about? Life! Come on! I have come that you might have life in all of its fullness. Abundant life. Overflowing life. Not just an ordinary make it through the day kind of life. He wants us to have fizzy kind of whiz pop a bang kind of firework kind of life. Full life. That's a great promise, isn't it? He says, come to me and you'll find rest for your souls. If the whiz-popping bangs, fireworks is a bit too strong for you at the moment, then how about just entering into the rest? That deep shalom. I've come, to reveal the Father that you might have rest for your souls. How about the Holy Spirit? I've come to pour out the Holy Spirit on all flesh. I've come to pour out the guide, the comforter, the teacher, the empowerer. To make you new creations. How about I've come and I'm going to do whatever you ask in my name. That's fantastic, isn't it? I will do whatever you ask in my name. Ask the Father and I'll do whatever you ask. I've said these things to you that you may have joy. So it's bad to be looking out at church when you say things like this. I've said these things to you. You may have joy, my joy in you, my joy. He's just about to go to the cross when he says that. I mean, it messes with your head a bit, but these are tremendous promises that we have in Scripture. It's our promised land. When God announced the gospel to Abraham, he promised him a land that he would possess and inherit. But they struggled to do that. And sometimes they turned away from it. And if we're honest, guys, we struggle to inherit the promises of God. And sometimes we turn away from them, don't we? All kinds of reasons we might do that. Fear might be one of those things. I'm also deeply convicted by the fact that often it's just the fact that, we're surrounded by weeds and that choking the plant, the busyness of life and the deceitfulness of wealth. That's one of our biggest, if we had to categorize weeds that are categorized as the type of seed that most of us often fall into, it's that stop us from inheriting. So let's look at some things that will enable us to inherit then. And we'll have to look at a passage. That's a bit small, but I'll read it to you. You don't have to read it up there. I just wanted it up there. A little bit of the two chapters we're looking at today. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. I'm sorry about the fact that it was written in a patristic society. But there you go. We're all sons and daughters, children of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. He is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba. No, that's the wrong kind of Abba. Abba, Father. Sorry. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. It's a bit of a dense passage, as Anthea just said. Some of these passages get pretty dense. But hopefully we'll unpack that a little bit and see it's a glorious passage. And the first thing I want to look at, if we're going to look at things that might help us to move and to lay hold of the inheritance that God has for us, we move from slavery to sonship. You are all sons, children of God. There's a huge difference between slaves and children. Sometimes, actually, when you look at what's going on in the home, actually, it doesn't seem to be too much of a difference. The children do what they're told. The children do the chores. Hopefully, in a good household, that's true. Not every household, obviously. But there's a massive difference in the way that the two types of people feel. Slaves do what they're told, yes. Slaves come when they're called. Slaves are just watching and being obedient the whole time. Children have a lot of fun, a lot of laughter. They do a lot of what they want to do a lot of the time too. And there's a freedom that with a child that there's not with a slave. One of the most powerful stories in the Bible is the parable of the prodigal son, the wasted son. And it's an outrageous story. We all know it so well, we don't have to read it this morning. And we know that the younger son asks for his inheritance and he goes off and wastes it. That's why it's called the wastrel son. He wastes it and then he comes to his senses and comes back. And he says, look, I'm not worthy to be called a son. I'll just be called a slave. That's what I'll do. I'll go back to my father and say, look, I know I'm no longer a son. I've forfeited that. But at least I could be a slave. At least in his house, I get fed and I'll get looked after, which is not a bad thing. It's better than what I'm doing right now. So he goes off, and the father comes running down the road to meet him, rushes out as soon as he sees him a long way off, rushes to meet him and wraps his arms around him, kisses him, puts a robe on him, puts a ring on his finger and a sandal on his feet and kills the fatted calf, throws a big party. Woohoo! It's all joy. And the father says, you're not a slave. He doesn't even let him get through his little speech. He says, no, you're a son. And not just a son. You're back with full status. You've got the ring, the sign of authority on your finger. You're back in the family. You're mine. When we decide to become a follower of Jesus, we experience that, don't we? The overwhelming acceptance and love of the Father. We were praying to be overwhelmed this morning. I mean, anybody feel that when they first gave their life to Jesus? Did you feel overwhelmed by his acceptance? Because you know you're not worthy, don't you? Well, I knew I wasn't worthy. You're overwhelmed by his love for you, by his acceptance of you. God welcomes us with open arms. However, too often, we become like the elder son. The elder son comes back out from the farmland where he's been working for his dad, and he hears the noise. He said, "What's going on?" He asks one of the slaves, one of the servants, and the slave says, "Hey, your brother's come back. We're having a party." And he gets mad. He refuses to go in, and the father comes out to him and says, come on, my boy. Come on, come in and let's celebrate." And he says, "Why should I celebrate? This wastrel son of yours comes back and you throw a party for him, you're killing the fatted calf, and yet I've slaved for you. I've served you for many, many years. I've served you, and you haven't even given me a goat so I could celebrate for my friends." Now, we probably wouldn't say that to the Lord, but I bet you we say something similar. "I've followed you. I've been a Christian. I've come to church week in, week out." Well, some of us. "I've tried to do the things that please you. I've tried to put you first. I've tried to give it what I can. What have you given me? This has gone wrong. That's gone wrong. The other's gone wrong." We can get a bit like the elder son. We try and do our best to serve God. And we can become disillusioned when things don't work out the way that we think they should. But listen to what the father says. "My son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." I love to speak that over churches. I love to prophesy that over people. "My son, my daughter, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." Our lives would be totally transformed if we really grabbed hold of that. We need a revelation of that. You see, too often, we're like the elder son. We try to do our best. We don't do the things we think are wrong. We try to keep out of it. But we don't do the things we could do as sons, as children. We don't ask him for the things we could be asking him for. We don't walk in the joy that we could be walking in. We don't receive because we don't ask. You see, our faith is not about what we can't do, but about what we can do. You know, the caricature of the Christian faith is it's a list of rules. God's a bit of a killjoy. "Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other." We know, don't we, that that's absolute nonsense. When we think that way, you know, our aim is wrong. We've made our faith about where we go when we die, and so sometimes we can get to thinking, "Oh, I've got to do these things so that I don't miss out on that wonderful prize at the end, so I don't screw up. I don't do the things that might prevent me from getting there." And we've seen all the bad things going on in the world, and we want to find a way of escaping. And the world can be pretty painful at times. Even for us, it can be painful. And we might find that look for a way of escaping. But that when we look for a way of escaping, and when we focus on what we on avoiding doing the things that might get us into trouble, that's the wrong aim. We're aiming way, way, way too low. Our aim has to be the salvation of creation. Our aim has to be about setting creation free from all the things that might hold it back. That is what Jesus said we were to do. You know, I love the fire thing that I came up with. What does fire stand for? Can anybody tell me? Anybody remember? Fatherhood? Independence? Come on, Phil. I try to make it easy to remember. It's reconciliation. And what's the E? Empowerment. Okay, you guys obviously didn't get it when I said it. If you got this, okay, you would be overwhelmed by that message. This is an overwhelming message of the love of God for creation. This is much better than the four spiritual laws that many of us have learned and tried to communicate the gospel. This is dynamite. The fact that the Father of creation, the Father, our God in heaven, loves every single man, woman, and child and wants to father every single person and be in that intimate, close relationship with every single person. That's his will. Sadly, we often choose independence. Early in our history, mankind chose independence. We thought we knew best. We thought God was maybe holding out on us. We'll try our own way. Let me be the judge of what's right and wrong for a change. Not my Father. That's just independence. We went down that route, and it's led into all kinds of pain, all kinds of trouble. We've screwed up big time. We've hurt ourselves and one another. Yes, that's what happens. Because we don't know best. We found that out. But the fact is, the Bible is a story of the God who doesn't give up, the God who keeps chasing us and sent Jesus to reconcile us back to himself. Never to reconcile him to us. It wasn't to assuage God's anger towards you. It was to reconcile us back to God so that we might see the Father and fall back in love with him and trust him once more. And it was to assuage God's anger, but God's anger was not directed at men and women. It was directed at the things that held us back from the fullness of life. And the E is empowerment. The E, because God doesn't want to just save us for some sitting on a cloud kind of eternity. God wants to empower us to rule and reign as sons and daughters here to bring creation into all of its fullness and glory. That is our destiny. That's what we were made for, to rule and reign in this place, to bring this world into wonderful fruitfulness. That's a beautiful story. It's a powerful story. I pray, I wish that I could help you see it, so that fire would burn in your heart. So that whenever we're communicating the story, we communicate fire. We won't have to communicate it all to everybody. You can't, it's impossible. But if we consistently communicate a little bit of it, they'll eventually get the message. It's Trinitarian. There's the love of the Father. There's the grace of our Lord Jesus, the reconciliation. There's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It's a Trinitarian gospel. It's a gospel for now. Earthly gospel, which brings hope to the whole world. Not as come from the pie in the sky gospel, when you die gospel. I'm excited by it anyway. I'm a bit sad. Like that. But it's beautiful. It's the sonship gospel. You see, Jesus, when he, in his last night, he's talking to his disciples in John 15, he said, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." He said, "Now I call you friends." I call you friends. Because servants don't, no longer do I call you servants, because servants don't really know what their master's about. But friends do. I call you friends because you know me now. And then he says, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'll do for you." He says that four times in those few chapters. Four times. Okay. Let's move on. Adoption. Why is that word so important to Paul? And you know, if you were there at the river together last week, you know why, don't you? Why is adoption important to you? Why should it be important to us? I'll tell you why. It's because of that second word up there. It's inheritance. And in 3:18, 3:29, 4:1 and 4:7, talks about inheritance. The beginning of that passage we read out earlier actually starts off with, "For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." So in other words, our inheritance is given by promise. It's a promise from God. And the inheritance, every person living in the day of Paul knew how to get the inheritance. Because not everybody inherited. Only the adopted son inherited. So I've said this many, many, many times, but I hope you've got it. You know, the fact is, the most powerful man in the world at the time, the Roman Emperor Augustus, you know, he had a family, and in that family were many sons. And he adopted one after the other, but they kept on dying. In fact, he adopted an uncle at one point, and he died as well. But eventually, he's left with his stepson, Tiberius, who'd been living with him as a son in his family for many years, but he eventually adopted him as his heir. That meant he became Caesar. He inherited the title. He inherited the wealth. He inherited the power. He inherited all things that were his, went to Tiberius when Augustus died. So Jesus died so that we could inherit all things. We inherit in Christ. He is the chosen one. He is God's son. When we include ourselves in him, we inherit. You see, the Jews hadn't walked into the fullness of their inheritance. They had recognized that they were sons of God, but they hadn't moved into the fullness of inheritance, of being the favored son, and of adopting everything, and receiving the full package, everything that God has for them. They were like the elder son, slaving away, saying, "You haven't given me as much as a goat." And that inheritance was given to Abraham via a promise, and it says in 3:15 to 18 that when the promise came, the law that came 430 years later didn't nullify the promise. So the law didn't negate the promise. The inheritance comes as a promise through faith. Now this is really interesting, guys. If you read verses 19 to 25, basically says, what about the law then, says Paul? Was the law no good? Because remember, he's trying to defend these guys from people that are trying to bring Jewish law into the church. So was the law no good? He says, no, the law was fantastic. But the law, it says, was like a steward. Now, when you have children growing up in a rich home, often they will have a governess or a steward to watch over them, to help them grow up well. He said the law was like that steward or governess helping them to grow up. But when they've grown up, they no longer need the steward. They're free. They don't live under the steward anymore. They can still be grateful that they knew the steward. The steward sometimes have become rubbish. But actually, the steward has fulfilled his purpose. Because the law leads to Christ. And we don't need the law anymore. What this means for the Bible, actually, guys, is quite astounding. We don't need the law. You write off a whole raft of chapters of the Old Testament, but they're fulfilled in Christ. You don't go back to the shadow once the presence has come. That's amazing. So anyway, the law was a steward. So we've got to. I was going to put up another picture there, but no, on the next slide there is. The law is a steward. We're supposed to become like our dad, and we're going to inherit all things. But we only get that when we know we're favored sons and daughters who adopted, who receive everything. Nothing is withheld from you this morning. Again, I say the words, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. Let that, the power of those words sink into our pits of our stomach, that we can live from them. Because if we're honest, too often we don't. Otherwise, we see many more healings and many more deliverances and many more salvations. That's the truth. I'm just being honest. Yeah, I see healings. I told you about some last week. I've seen some great stuff. Some wonder. I've seen some miracles. I asked God for a sign about see this bird, and he brought a whole flock of them to my garden every day for a month. Now, that's a sign that makes me wonder. That's part of my inheritance. He promised me that kind of thing. I don't see it every day. I wish I did. I just need to move more into my inheritance by faith. And it comes as the more we understand adoption, that we are favored children, not just children, but favored, the inheriting ones. Lastly, it comes by grace. I should have put up a picture of Brandon Grace.
Yes, absolutely.
62, 140 odd years. At the,
not 70,
yeah, but even so, 8 under par. Amazing. For non-golfers. It's the open. So when Paul starts off in chapter 3, he says, who has bewitched you? I want to ask you some questions. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law or by believing? Then he adds later on, I want to ask you a question. Does God give you his Spirit and work wonders or miracles among you because you obey the law or because you believe? Very straightforward, simple question. I love it. And I love the fact he added miracles in at that point. Because we could kid ourselves. If the wonders weren't there, we could have kid ourselves we were doing okay. But I've got the Spirit. I feel good. I feel happy. Fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Yeah, I've got that. Tick, tick, tick. Wonders. Guys, we've got to have a hunger for wonders. They're part of our inheritance. You were created for wonder. You're a sign that makes men wonder. You know, I love that. I was out in the park yesterday at Maidenhead at the festival. I got to pray for a couple of teenagers who aren't church. They saw the sign, spiritual reading. So, can we have a spiritual reading? Got to pray with them. Hopefully the words I said prophesied into their lives will bear fruit, you know. But it's like, I'm giving God a chance to perform a wonder in their lives. Every time we pray for someone, every time we say, do you know what, Jesus would want to heal you? Do you know what, Jesus want to set you free? Do you know what, Jesus want to bring money into your situation to relieve your burden? Every time we speak those kind of words of faith into people, we give God a chance to glorify himself. It's a glorious life. Really is a glory. We only have good news. And it comes through grace. If we don't let it come through grace, it says, you know, Paul says, I fear for you, you've fallen from grace. You can't earn this stuff. It comes totally and utterly through grace. A gift to all who believe. I do love that. You know, this is not rocket science, because Jesus says, doesn't he, in Luke chapter 11, I think verse 13, how much more does your heavenly Father give the Spirit to those who ask? If we're feeling at all dry this morning, if we're feeling a bit, then we ask God. You know, once I was going through a dry period in my life, I kept on asking God to fill me with the Spirit. I said, you've got to wake me up, God. I'm dead as a bit of driftwood. I'm just dry. Blow through me. And I prayed that for about 6 months. And then one morning I sat under a statue of John Wesley before going off to my IT appointment. But I made space to pray before going to that appointment. I said, God, you've got to blow through me. You blew through this man. Blow through me. Wake me up. Let life come to me again. I'm dead. Dangerous prayers. And that night, Ken McGreevy came through River Church and he picked me out and prophesied over me and said, it's time to start adventuring with Jesus again. He picked me out and got me going. He just prophesied a word of kindness to me and it broke the yoke that was holding me down and I was free to run again. Just ask. The more we ask, the more we receive. It's just true. God's gentle. He comes wherever he's asked. Wherever he's asked. Let's be hungry, guys. Let's not be satisfied with our lives. Let's not be satisfied with our houses, our friendships, our schools, our careers. Let's be hungry for more reality of life with Jesus. It's a simple equation. The more you ask, the more you receive. Jesus says it more than once. And then he goes on, you know, if you want a life full of wonders, well, you just have to read John chapter 14, verse 13, John chapter 15, verse 7, John chapter 15, verse 16, John chapter 16, verse 23. Ask the Father, and he'll do whatever you ask in my name. Or ask me, and I'll do whatever you ask. It doesn't really matter, but they're quite close, Jesus and the Father. He doesn't get hung up about who you ask. But just ask. Just ask. And it's so difficult. I'm not preaching to someone who does this all the time, because if I did, you would see a lot more wonders through me. But I'm just saying, you know, we do see them. And when we went to Nepal a few weeks ago, we saw a few more. Just because we were brave and we asked. Let's not make excuses about our culture and about people who don't understand us. Let's just be bold and push through in grace. Okay. Brandon. Anybody get that? It's my warped sense of humour. Anybody like Indian? Anyone have a saag bhaji? A spinach bhaji? When I was in Nepal, we ate a lot of saag. Spinach. Popeye ate spinach. I'm strong to the finish because I eat my spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Boop, boop. We've got to eat more spinach. We've got to dwell in the place of sonship. Dwell in our adoption. Live in it. Breathe it. Just think about it. Let it consume you. And remember, it's all about grace. Grace is beautiful. It's a beautiful word. It's a thought that changed the world, as someone once sang. You know, guys, I love you guys. I love this church. I love the freedom that we have. I love the community that we represent. It's a beautiful place. And the way that we see the world is glorious. Absolutely glorious. And the world needs to know it. But I'm deeply convicted by the fact that we're not reaching our communities. Even though we're working hard. But the one guest we had seems to have walked out. Lord Jesus, we need you. We need you. We need you. We need you to fill us up, to stoke us up, to fire us up. You know, that, so we're not like the seed that gets sown amongst the thorns and the thistles. We want to be the seed that bears fruit, Lord Jesus. Help us to run free from the entanglements of sin, to run free from the entanglements of busyness, to run free from the entanglements of the world, to really put you first. To seek out opportunities. To love people in your name, to seek them out. Opportunities to share our faith with joy, with hope, with passion, with power. Because we're adopted sons and daughters of the living God. And all that you have is ours. You hold nothing back. We've been blessed with every blessing, it says in Ephesians 1, 3, 4. Every blessing. And I look around this world, Lord Jesus, I look around at England and Wales and Ireland and Scotland, and I see you moving all over the place, and I see people responding to the gospel. And even yesterday, we saw in the park a few people responding in terms of asking for prayer, asking for words of life. We pray, Lord God, that you will bring those people across our paths. And give us the boldness, give us the confidence, give us the heart of compassion to spare the time to bring your hope, to bring your joy, to bring your healing, to bring your life. Can we close our eyes just for a moment? Because the devil will always try and disqualify us for this kind of work. It happens all the time. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say I should pray for those who felt disqualified, who felt that, who relate more to the younger son than the older son. So if that's you, if you felt I'm no longer worthy to walk into this fullness or this inheritance, then please raise your hand. You can put it back down again. I'm not asking, I'm not going to embarrass you, but if that's you, then please raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Okay, thank you. Bless you. Put your hand down. I've seen it. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Keyboard or something. Thanks, Andy. I tell you, the Spirit of God is here. The Spirit of God is here to overwhelm us, to come rushing to meet us. I want us all to envisage that, the Father running to meet you right now, to throw his arms around you, whether you're close to him or far away. But particularly for those that have responded, that you would know the arms of the Father around you right now, his warm embrace, his kisses on your neck. He's clothing you again. Put sandals on your feet, robe around you, a ring on your finger. And he says, my child, I am overjoyed to see you. I know that you regret some of the choices you've made. Forget those things right now. They are in the past. Now is the time to push on into all that I have for you. The past does not disqualify you for the prize. So run. Run. I clothe you again with Christ today, my child. I clothe you with my son who gave himself for you. I choose you today. I choose you to represent me. I choose you to speak for me. So ask and you will receive. Better than any ring, you carry a sign of my authority. I've given you my spirit, the authority to serve and to heal, to love and to set free. I freely give you my spirit to empower you, to bless and to enrich everywhere you go. So, my child, be generous with my love and give it away whenever and wherever you can. And I am with you. You will see wonders, and tears of joy will flow as you see the kingdom come through you. I bless you, my child. Amen.